You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 13th of October 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. It's Thursday, so we have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from russjournal.org, who has just written a fantastic book. Matt, I listened to the podcast yesterday, your TON. It was one of the best TONs I've ever listened to. I'm certainly going to go back and have a second listen to it. It was very, very complex stuff, but it deals with where we originally got our ideas from about how the world worked and how that has become subverted today. Do you want to just talk a little bit about your new book and let listeners know where they can find it before we begin today?
Sure. The title is The Ontology of Death, Patristic Philosophy Against Nominalism. Patristic philosophy referring to the Church Fathers, who established, you know, essentially what Christianity was immediately after the apostles. And they were very concerned. You're talking about the nature of the Trinity, the two natures in Christ. They had no choice but to get deeply into metaphysics and ontology. Ontology meaning the study of existence, what's behind appearances, and what actually is it. And no one really talks about the Church Fathers as a philosophical group. They were first rate. And, of course, every one of them was, at least in certain key areas, a follower of Plato. Plato was the very first philosophical work I ever read, author I ever read, and it changed me forever, both the Gorgias and the Republic. And that was the dominant paradigm at the time, and this is the time that Christ chose to manifest himself to the world. And you have church fathers like St. Justin actually calling themselves Christian Platonists, as I've always, you know, called myself, philosophically speaking. And they corrected many errors in Plato and created a powerful understanding of how we know things, the nature of the universe, the relation between creation and God. All of these are as much philosophical as theological topics. They established what the European, these were all Greek speakers, what the European understanding of the world was. They took from certain Roman sources, at least in terms of their descriptions of things. It was a great synthesis of European philosophy at that point, and it was very stable for a long time, of course, until the Enlightenment. And this has not been done before. I'm really happy this has been released right maybe a year after Logos Rising from E. Michael Jones, which gives a more historical understanding. Mine is a more philosophical understanding. The two of those together, I think, can change someone's total outlook on the most fundamental things. Oh, and by the way, I do appreciate you putting the posts up, the ads and stuff like that, so people can buy it. That I thank you for.
Yes, if people want to purchase Dr. Johnson's new book, you'll find in the sidebar, if you click the link there, that will take you to the orthodoxnationalist.wordpress website that has all Matt's merchandise there. It also has links to all of his books, including the new one, The Ontology of Death. And I do recommend people listen to The Orthodox Nationalist from yesterday to learn more about it. Well, today we're going to be talking about OPEC agreeing to stop oil production. OPEC member states have agreed an oil production cut of 2 million barrels per day. A statement published on the group's website reads, "The reduction, which is the largest cut since 2020, will take effect in November," the cartel announced last Wednesday. According to OPEC, the step comes in light of the uncertainty that surrounds the global economic and oil market outlooks and the need to enhance the long-term guidance for the oil market. and in line with a successful approach of being proactive and preemptive, which has been consistently adopted by the group. The cuts are much harsher than most experts had anticipated earlier that week, and are now expected to stem the latest drop in global prices for crude. Energy ministers from the OPEC group, led by Saudi Arabia and its allied non-members, including Russia, have held a meeting at the cartel's Vienna headquarters on Wednesday for the first time since the start of the pandemic in early 2020. The decision on output reduction comes despite intense lobbying by the White House to keep oil production at current levels or higher, something US President Joe Biden had hoped to secure during his visit to Saudi Arabia in July. On Tuesday, CNN cited an unnamed senior official as saying that Washington had mobilized all available resources ahead of the oil cartel gathering, with the Biden administration having a spasm and panicking. The efforts were described as taking the gloves off. Some of the talking points drafted by the US administration suggested the potential cut would be viewed as a hostile act and a total disaster. Meanwhile, most officials from OPEC member states said any reduction would be a technical and not a political decision, and cited a risk of recession as contributing to the cuts as they entered the OPEC headquarters in Vienna. Suhail al-Mazrui, the energy minister of the United Arab Emirates, said that OPEC is a technical organization when asked whether the proposal would potentially damage relations with the US. A couple of really interesting things about this. I mean, I would have thought that the problem that we have at the moment is that the fuel costs are too high. So that must mean that there is a shortage of fuel. So the price goes up. So you would imagine that what they really wanted to do was increase the amount of oil that's produced so that the prices could go down. And you would think that, that's what the West would want them to be doing. So you can understand that this is you know, what the Biden administration would want OPEC to do. But then I hear today that Joe Biden was only asking them to do that until after the midterm elections. And Saudi Arabia have actually put out an official memo from Saudi Arabia saying that this is what Joe Biden was doing. He was just trying to get them to hold off on this reduction in oil production until these midterm elections. So obviously a political move, and Saudi Arabia have refused. So 2 points there, Matt. Do you want to address those and make some comments on this?
I think the break-even price that Saudi Arabia has, you know, obliquely for the OPEC plus cartel is about $90 a barrel, maybe a little bit less than that. They lost a fortune in 2020 when it cost more to store oil than sell it. But remember, this is a relatively small cut. They're saying this is preemptive because they realize what's happening. No one has any faith in the Western economies. Saying something dumb like the recession risk. The Western world has been in a depression for a decade, since at least 2008. You know, the massive brain drain, and it certainly has nothing to do with the war in Ukraine, because this was American policy long before that started. You know, we talked about how the U.S., especially, you know, remember, Joe Biden that's absurd. It's the administration that does certain things and the corporate entities that exist in it. Joe Biden doesn't know where he is. But the U.S. continues to believe, at least the elites anyway, that they have more power than they actually do. And we've talked about it on this show 100 times, that when the bubble bursts and the U.S. realizes how weak it really is internationally, they're going to lash out like a wounded animal. And clearly it says here, this is a hostile act. They're taking the gloves off, et cetera. And it isn't so much the cut, because there is no such thing as an oil market that's based entirely on supply and demand. Even the tiniest, this is like the interest rate increase. It isn't so much what this is on paper, but how elites in the field react, commodity markets and Chicago and all that. That's really the issue. They're expecting this to go up. And all this is going to do is allow American gas stations to double their price, despite the fact that this has nothing to do with the U.S. The U.S. doesn't get a tiny amount of oil from the Middle East. So this is really Biden going over there, incoherently rambling. He called a whole bunch of people names, called the current prince a killer, you know, which is apparently one of the few words he knows. He's condemned them. Now they want to cut. There's a NOPEC bill in Washington that wants to cut all ties with Saudi Arabia. This is like a wounded animal in a corner. The U.S. realizes it can't influence world events. OPEC Plus came into existence because Saudi Arabia was allied with Russia and continues to be. They're not going to irritate the Russians and vice versa, certainly in their interests. And most of the OPEC and then OPEC Plus members are hostile to the U.S. And, I mean, Venezuela, et cetera, despite the fact that the Americans, anyway, get their oil from domestic sources, Canada, Norway, the North Sea, you know, South America, et cetera. And so this really – it's not a direct – cut isn't relevant only in the sense that it there's now a prediction that this is going to continue. And the depression is it's going to get worse. But this is entirely – the U.S. is completely self-sufficient in oil. The U.S. is a huge oil producer. Most of its wells are capped. The U.S. doesn't need energy from anywhere. This is just the nature of American foreign policy and the oil firms and the deep corruption here. But cutting off all the pipelines, capping, you're not allowed to search for oil and gas on federal lands. Since Biden came into office, Trump always claimed we achieved energy independence. That was immediately overthrown when Biden's coup placed him in power. So this is all nonsensical. This is the corruption of American foreign policy. And now all it's going to do is give, at least in the U.S., it's going to give these oil firms all the excuse they need to double their price. And Americans just have to pay it.
So it means that America can actually put its price up itself. And I did actually see this week that the Saudis were in St. Petersburg. And Putin actually gave the Saudi representative his own coat to wear so that he didn't get too cold. But do you think that Washington will actually pass this NOPEC bill? I mean, I think it said that they weren't even going to sell any more defense hardware to Saudi Arabia. I really can't see them doing that because I think they make a lot of money from that. Do you think this bill might actually pass and America might split from Saudi Arabia? Or is this all just propaganda, Matt?
Well, a lot of this is just simple press releases, but clearly there's a temper tantrum going on in Washington. Anything that attempts to hurt Russia, even indirectly, has automatic bipartisan support. I mean, Bernie Sanders has been outrageous in some of the stupid things that he's been saying. He's beaten the drums for war. But hopefully, you know, the American system of government, I'm surprised Biden didn't just do this by executive order, because by the time this bill gets to his desk, it was going to be months from now. So tempers will have cooled by that point. So either the thing won't get passed or it just won't matter. The U.S. can't afford to alienate any more allies. The fact that Saudi Arabia just told Biden to take a hike, leading to his little tantrum and name calling. So the thing, you know, Aramco, I've been through all the members of the board of Aramco. Almost everyone is educated in the U.S. and speaks English. This is a huge American ally that and it's a national state company, which is one of the reasons it's doing what it's doing. This is a real slap in the face. Russia is far more important. And the future, don't forget, you know, when they stole all Russia's reserves that was located in the West, when they pulled out a treaty after treaty, they're looking at what the U.S. did in Iraq and Afghanistan. No one trusts the Western world politically or economically. And they realize that their future is in the East. It's significant for me to say, and I really, it's incredible, but the Shanghai Cooperation Organization now has a huge influx of people wanting to join it from the Middle East, including Saudi Arabia. This is a huge development that no one's talking about. Not to mention, there's also a bunch of Middle Eastern states that want to join the BRICS. And the only reason here is because no one trusts these disastrous, essentially now third world economies of the Western world. That's not going to be the future. You know, unlike, you know, Russia is not dependent on oil, but the certain parts of the Middle East are. And of course, now you have the Americans begging Iran and begging Venezuela to help them out. And of course, that's been going on for a while, and they're going to tell them to take a hike. This is just proof that the U.S. has pissed everybody off, including its closest allies. They're untrustworthy, and this is a statement of the American and the Western economies, not anything else. And we'll talk about the oil price cap, that fantasy, here in a little bit. But this is their response to this demand for a price cap, which apparently means that no one there knows anything about economics, and certainly not international economics. And that's a key factor to explain this too. This price cap is going to hurt everybody. And this is the OPEC response to it, even though it can never be imposed, won't be imposed, I don't think. But the threat of it is one of the reasons that this was provoked.
Right. So it's not just that they're saying a recession could be coming, but there's also the threat of this price cap on Russian oil that we'll get to in a moment. As we were just saying there, American oil is going to be able to be sold for more, so it's going to make more money for the companies. But American customers are going to be paying more for deliveries, while prices in Asia remain unchanged. State-controlled Saudi Aramco has raised its November official selling price for crude oil shipped to the United States by 20 cents, while keeping prices for Asia, its key market, largely unchanged from October, Bloomberg reported on Thursday. Meanwhile, the rates for Northwest Europe and the Mediterranean region were lowered. The world's biggest producer of crude raised its medium and heavy grades for Asia by 25 cents per barrel month on month and dropped extra light by 10 cents. The November OSP for Arab Light to Asia was set at a premium of $5.85 a barrel above the regional benchmark. Traders polled by EPBY agency forecast a raise of 40 cents in response to the latest signs of recovering crude demand in one of its biggest markets and the new batch of fuel export quotas issued by China. A sharp hike would have further tightened the global market of crude following OPEC's decision to reduce the production target from next month by 2 million barrels per day. Washington said it was short-sighted at a time many countries are reeling from elevated energy prices. Global prices for crude have declined since June after surging in the wake of Ukraine-related sanctions imposed on Russia, one of the world's major producers and exporters of oil. The current price of about $90 per barrel is still up almost 20% this year, contributing to a painful surge in inflation globally. And this is the bit that I don't understand. They're saying that the oil is just not being used, it's going down. But surely if they were to put a lower price on it, more people would be wanting more oil, they'd be using more oil, and we'd be able to get everything moving again. We'd be able to get production going again. What's wrong with my thinking there, Matt? Why aren't they doing this?
It's largely because, well, of course, this is to a great extent a political development, that this is, as I said, this is an answer to the so-called price cap. And this has to do with the fact that these economies, I don't think the Middle East believes that these economies are ever going to recover, as I don't. Remember how weak these currencies are. How you know, third world these economies are, the debt and everything else. Now, if markets actually functioned, this wouldn't be a huge price increase. But there's going to be gouging everywhere. So the fault, if any fault you can find, is really to do with the Western companies, not so much Aramco. I don't think that they believe that the economy in the West is really savable, and so they're not going to say, well, they could even lose money on oil, and it won't do a damn thing. Just like zero interest rates from 2008 on did nothing to revitalize the economy. They don't want a glut in the market that would mean that they're not making any more money on this, that there's no point to selling it. And, you know, this is also, you see how their prices differ depending on the region in the world. But this is also, you know, I think partially in Biden's interest, because this is going to break Northern Europe, which is really already broken. And because, you know, OPEC is an ally of Russia, that Russia has far better dealings with them than the U.S. ever did, plus all the political issues involved here. This, for them anyway, seems to be a rational policy. I mean, Europe and the U.S. have been deindustrialized for a long time. And of course, don't forget this is an answer to American foreign policy. OPEC is not going to answer to the U.S. It's going to serve its own interests. It's going to maintain a price that's profitable for them to sell. And the important things I hinted at already is that because these are state companies, they have the power to say no. Private firms don't. And that's why, you know, they could weather volatility in the market. If they increase the production of oil and there's no economic recovery, then the price is going to go below their break-even rates. And because of the instability, they're going to at least maintain. This may come down later, but it certainly won't be because of Biden. And as you already said, this will hurt Europe badly. And that's fine as far as that administration is concerned. And it may even be a boon to Western companies who are selling very, very overpriced gas and oil to Western Europe. But that infrastructure is hardly there. And so this is this occurred before the terror bombings, whether it be of Nord Stream or the Kerch Bridge. But they're realizing that the West simply can't be trusted. They're going to do what's in their interest. They refuse to have anything to do with the sanctions on Russia, of course. Obviously, they're still a member of the group. And you're going to see more and more lashing out. But they're afraid that if there's no recovery and they increase or even maintain present oil production, you're going to see another plummet like you had in 2020. Not to mention, they're still trying to make up for the money that they lost during the artificial lockdown.
Well, that all makes sense. That certainly does make sense, doesn't it? But Washington is not happy about this. The move to cut oil output is unhelpful, the head of the Treasury told the Financial Times. The head of the US Treasury Department has criticized the week's decision by the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries and Allies to lower oil production in a phone interview with the Financial Times. OPEC's decision is unhelpful and unwise. It is uncertain what impact it will end up having, but certainly it is something that, to me, did not seem appropriate under the circumstances we face, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen was cited as saying. Washington is very worried about developing countries and the problems they face, including the rise in fuel prices, Yellen said. The US and the Group of Seven countries are still debating a plan to set a price cap on Russian oil exports, which is being pitched as a way to stabilize global fuel prices and deprive Moscow of revenue to finance the military operation in Ukraine. She confirmed that Washington has high hopes for the measure, but did not disclose any new decisions regarding it. Holding down prices is something that is particularly helpful to developing countries that are suffering from high energy prices. The president has been focused for a lot of time on exploring all available options to try to bring oil prices down, she stated. OPEC announced its decision to cut oil production by 2 million barrels per day starting in November earlier this week. It will be the largest reduction in the group's output since 2020. The group sees the move as a way to balance the market before the seasonal decline in demand, according to Russian Deputy Prime Minister Alexander Novak, who attended the OPEC meeting. Analysts interviewed by Bloomberg warn that the output cut may lead to a jump in oil prices above $100 a barrel and force the US to tap its strategic reserves. According to Bloomberg, Russia may introduce even larger output cuts than those announced by OPEC in response to the introduction of an oil price cap by the EU earlier this week. However, many analysts say that given the rise in oil prices, Russia's oil export profits are unlikely to suffer, even with production cuts. And I don't really understand why people would be using less oil in the winter, because they talk about a seasonal jump here or a seasonal drop. And I would have thought people would use more oil in the winter. Why will there be a seasonal drop in oil use in the wintertime, Matt?
Well, they're not really necessarily talking about heating oil. They're talking about the oil that's necessary for, you know, vehicles, industrial production. And there is a slight drop in the dead of winter. You don't have as many people driving. There's, you know, and it's usually, it's not huge. But this is, of course, the technical reason that they're doing this. That it's not just going to be a slight drop this time. Now, heating oil, you know, and gas, those are different things, and they don't make up a huge portion of the exports here. This is mostly, you know, vehicles and industry and the 10 million other things that come from petroleum products. Now, everyone knows, I think they even figured it out in Washington and New York, that nothing here, not the sanctions, not any embargoes, hasn't hurt Russia at all. If anything, it's helped it in a million different ways we've talked about on this show for as long as I can remember. So no matter what these, no matter what they do, all it's going to do is raise oil prices, in which case Russia is going to enjoy this. You know, they have a massive budget surplus. They have a massive surplus all over the place, gold, foreign currency. We've been talking about this for ages too. And do you actually believe, and this is something I had to read it three times, that Yellen says Biden is worried about the third world. That's what this is all about, and that's why we're trying to lower prices. And can you imagine actually saying that with a straight face? I don't think it's a third world that they're worried about. Not to mention, the third world would be getting a much better deal, especially from Russia, than it would ever be would get from the U.S. Of course, the fundamental thing here is the fact, and I'll say this again, the U.S. has all the oil it needs to function normally. But when this is all capped, when that industry starts refusing to invest in new technologies, when BlackRock says it wants a shift to green energy and away from hydrocarbons, which is, of course, nonsensical, but, you know, they're discouraging lending, it's going to be really difficult to get that industry back up again such that the U.S. can be self-sufficient. So if they're so worried about the price, all they have to do is take the caps off and begin slowly rebuilding domestic oil production, which was happening in the Trump administration, but that ended because the environmentalist movement is so wealthy and poured so much money into the Democratic campaigns that they had no choice but to respond to it. So if that's the concern, just like the food issue, if you're worried about food supplies, just, you know, have American farmers plant 10% more of the land than it normally does. Problem solved. You know, the U.S. has it in its capacity to change all of this in a relatively short period of time. The refusal to do this means that the U.S. is far more concerned with global dominance and being able to control things than these short-term domestic economic issues. And that's what the slap in the face is here. And the cap is a stupid idea. The very fact that the Russians are doing well with high prices irritates the West to no end. The cap is, in theory, a price ceiling on petroleum. But, you know, these are mostly lawyers and not economists, and they don't realize that when you artificially keep prices at a low or moderate level, you're going to get less supply. The Chinese, the Indians, most in Central Asia, and in the Middle East said, we're not going to have anything to do with this cap. The West will break long before anyone else does. Russia will just, as it's been doing, shift its production towards Central Asia and Asian markets, you know, especially with China and Southeast Asia, which they've been doing anyway. And Putin said it right, said you are in no position to dictate prices. And so the cap is something like an anti-OPEC. It's a buyer's cartel rather than a seller's cartel. But as every grad student in political science knows, cartelization is, with the exception of OPEC, always a failure. Because you have defectors at any moment. Germany, and of course in Asia, you have no support for this. And other major oil producers. Cartelization always fails. OPEC is the exception. And so this can't work. And Russia will simply divert supply, bringing Europe to a very, very cold, dark existence.
Well, it's always the seller that determines the price as well, not the buyer. Well, Russia is very happy about this. Dmitry Peskov called OPEC's decision to lower oil output a victory for common sense. The decision to cut oil production made earlier this week by OPEC and allies is a victory for common sense, said Dmitry Peskov, the press secretary for Russian President Vladimir Putin. I am not inclined to say that this is some kind of a victory for us. No, this is a victory for common sense, he said on the TV channel Russia One on Sunday. Peskov noted that Washington seeks to push through its decisions about the oil market and manipulate prices, even at the cost of destabilizing the global energy market. It has already partially succeeded, he added, having tapped its own reserves and influenced the EU to introduce an oil price cap in its latest package of sanctions. However, according to the spokesman, OPEC can counterbalance such measures. And the fact that these actions are countered by the balanced, thoughtful and planned work of the countries that take a responsible position within OPEC, including our country, is very good. This at least somewhat balances the chaos that the Americans are creating, Peskov stressed. OPEC announced earlier that the countries comprising the group will cut oil production from 2 million barrels per day starting in November. The cuts will be distributed based on the quotas under the OPEC deal as of August 22. The curtailing of output was aimed at stabilizing the global oil market ahead of a seasonal drop in demand and amid fears of a global recession. Meanwhile, according to reports, Russia may cut its production by more than the amount prescribed by OPEC due to the new sanctions. US President Joe Biden expressed disappointment with the OPEC decision, while the head of the US Treasury, Janet Yellen, called the move unhelpful and unwise. So Russia is pointing out that it's the chaos that the Americans are creating. And of course, America is pointing out that all this has been caused by Russia going into Ukraine. So we've got both sides are blaming each other. Obviously, Matt, you're going to take the Russian side, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely here. As far as the sanctions have gone back, as far as the Obama administration, there's really no new sanctions they could place. I think this is more of a press release and a propaganda issue than anything real. Governments are going to have to subsidize supply if there's a cap. And the way that the cap is supposed to work, I mean, he says it's already been done, but you know nothing's going to happen. So the cap aims at insurance companies, and it took me a while to get this straight in my head. But insurance companies are going to be forced, the barrel of a gun, I guess, to divest policy with anyone once the cap gets too high or once the cap is exceeded. But countries are already switching over to other insurers, and so much of the world is opposed to this. And I read on a major oil specialty journal, that the so-called insurance companies – in the West aren't insurance companies in the sense that we're talking about. They provide expertise and consulting far more than, you know, paying out in terms of a disaster. And on the other hand, Eastern insurance companies actually act like an insurance firm. So insurance is just in a manner of speaking. So at every, no matter how you look at this, from every level, this doesn't make any sense. That's why they're talking about common sense. But Biden also said, or whoever was speaking for him, that this is a hostile act. In other words, this is somehow an act of war. And since the U.S. doesn't have the economic means to fight this, God knows what they're talking about. And other than the OPEC bill, which is going to cut Saudi Arabia off, and that the name calling has gone back and forth. Biden called the prince a pariah, Saudi Arabia a pariah state, which is apparently, again, his vocabulary is limited. But this is what he calls anyone who disagrees with him, calling Saudi Arabia and Russia pariah state with all the allies and the influence that they have. It's a typical rhetoric. This is a press release more than anything else. And European populations who can't afford their bills as it is, they're going to have enough of this. God knows what's going to happen if this continues. But it's a risk that the regime is willing to take.
Well, I did read that the OPEC decision, I mean, that was a unanimous decision. It was a decision of all the groups that were actually a part of OPEC, all the countries. They said, this is what we have to do. We have to actually cut production. And of course, America is saying, oh no, it's political. They're all just supporting Russia. And it's because Saudi Arabia is supporting Russia. Well, Russia's actions regarding energy resources are aimed at ensuring market stability and not creating obstacles for anyone, President Vladimir Putin insisted on Tuesday. while meeting with his UAE counterpart, Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan, in St. Petersburg. The leader of the UAE is on an official visit to Russia to discuss cooperation between the two countries, as well as regional and international issues. We are actively working within the framework of OPEC. I know your position. Our actions, our decisions are not directed against anyone. They are aimed at stability in the world energy markets so that both consumers of energy resources and those involved in their production, as well as suppliers, feel calm, stable and confident so that the supply and demand will be balanced, Putin said. Last week, the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries and Allies agreed to an oil production cut of 2 million barrels per day starting in November. The reduction, which is the largest output cut since early 2020, was approved despite US pressure to pump more. It is expected to stem the latest slide in global oil prices. US President Joe Biden expressed disappointment with the decision, and Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen called the move unhelpful and unwise. Russian Deputy Prime Minister Alexander Novak, who attended the OPEC meeting, said that the output cut is necessary to balance the market before the seasonal decline in demand. According to Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov, Washington seeks to force through its decisions regarding the oil market and manipulate the prices, even at the cost of destabilizing the global energy market. Analysts interviewed by Bloomberg warn that the output cut may lead to a jump in oil prices above $100 a barrel and force the US to tap its strategic reserves. They also believe that Russia may implement even larger output cuts than those announced by OPEC, in response to the introduction of an oil price cap by the EU last week. Given the rise in oil prices, Russia's oil export profits are unlikely to suffer, even with production cuts, they say. So what this is going to cause is the prices to go up for Europe to purchase it. It's Europe that's going to be the one that is on the receiving end of all this, not Russia and not America. Matt, what are your final thoughts on all of this?
Well, when you have this instability, no one trusts American policy. You have, you know, theories about caps. You have warfare. You have an erratic Western policy, economically speaking, talking about manipulating market prices by, you know, all of these things. The more instability you have, the less concern there is for the long term. Long-term investments, long-term loans in this industry are incredibly risky now. So everything is going to be focused on the short term. Now, what OPEC is doing is saying, you don't have to do that. We're going to hold the line no matter what the U.S. says. So now you can worry about medium and long-term investment, not the short-term profit seek. So that's really what they mean by stability. Long-term contracts and loans, bonds, there's no way you can predict what's going to happen in 2 years, 7 years. So everything then is going to be focused on the short term, and that's not sustainable. So what OPEC is doing, despite all the political things, which are very real, what they're saying is don't worry about what the U.S. Let them fume, let them rage. We're going to maintain a stable price for the long term, so you don't have to worry about that. But what this interference by the U.S. means that's only going to be partially true.
Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Dan. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.